Turn to someone next to you and say, "You look beautiful tonight." Thank you. Now, I'm going to show a little clip, a little film clip. It will last just over 3 minutes, that's all. If you blink or just lose concentration, you'll miss it. There's a lot in it. During the first part, it shows of our work in Nigeria in terms of the gospel and discipleship. And then most of it, it's to do with education, jobs, and again, some discipleship and the gospel, even though that's not said clearly. So just a little clip, thanks.
So.
My family moved to this area about 50 years ago. And when I came to this area, I started going to school here. And then later, when I was 17, I was converted and started to go to a church called Christ Church in Finchley. And then the next year, I was baptized in the Spirit. And that's what made a big difference in my life. One of the first people that I brought to Christ in those days, and I've been doing that since, for nearly 40 years. I know I don't look that old. I look really good. But anyway, what was I saying? One of the first people that I brought to Christ was a bloke called J. John, which was easy. But discipling him for 2 years took a little bit longer. I took him home one day and I noticed this bloke late at night sitting on a seat. And the kind of thing we would do just was in my head again. So I took him home, went back like 40 minutes later. I said to God, if he's still there, I'll go and talk to him. So he was there, I spoke to him. We spoke for a while, it was getting late. I said, "Where are you going to sleep tonight?" He said, "Take me to a church called St. Barnabas in Woodside Park." I said, "All right, what are you going to do there?" He says, "The vicar there, he allows me to sleep in the boiler house." I said, "I'll take you." So I brought this bloke from the dead of night, and we walked down the side of this church. You can't get down the side now. I had a look. I thought, where's that boiler house? Went down these steps. We pushed the door. It was shut. Pushed the door open. And he's like, he stayed there before. So I put him in there, said goodbye, and said to him, I'd see him the next morning and I'd bring him some food. Went home, my dad was waiting for me. And you don't understand, do you? It's like the mafia, the Greek mafia is waiting for you. Oh, I got it that night because he didn't like me doing stuff like that. And the next morning, I brought this stranger some food and told him about Jesus. And I've been doing that kind of thing on a one-to-one basis or standing on a platform somewhere or in some country or preaching under trees in Africa. When I turned 50, God said to me, go back to schools. Forget the platform. You don't need to do the nice conferences with church. Go back to the trees, stand under trees in secondary schools and proclaim Christ and do discipleship. So I've been doing that for the last few years. And I just wanted you to see one of the things that we're doing in Nigeria. And if any of you would like to think about sponsoring one of our little children or one of our workers, we're not some big organization, we're 2.1. That's it. 2.1 at our office in Emsworth in Hampshire. But in Nigeria, I've got 15 staff. Our staff are paid from people that just give £19 a month, and we send them that. I hope I'm preaching under the cross tonight. Is the cross up? I love that image. I want to stand for the rest of my life under the cross of Jesus. I don't want to move from living under the cross and the love of Jesus. I don't want to move from the spot. I love what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. We've got a couple of things coming up later this year. One is a Diamond Geezers men's conference. Ladies, if you've got a bloke in your life and he doesn't want to come, give him a great big shove and say to him, my man, go to that Diamond Geezers conference and find out if it's really true that, you know, it was worth coming to and you were fed. Just go. So that's in November, and I've got some leaflets, and they're at the back. And there's some books there as well, one or two books that I've written that are in the sale. True Relationships. I've just written this is a new old book updated with a new chapter on singleness, which is absolutely brilliant. I'm amazed. When I start to read what I've written, I can't believe I've written it. It really is good, Vicar. Here, have one. So this one's free. Who'd like this one? Here you go, mate. I'm going to speak from Luke 15. If you want to follow it, you can. Luke 15 and verse 11. Luke 15, 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got up together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Verse 16. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and I am here starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The father in this story has three qualities. Quality number one, there is this compassion. Now, when the Bible says here and in other places of Jesus having compassion, that Greek word compassion here is some huge, momentous feeling. It's not some take it or leave it small thing. It's a deep feeling of love and pity and compassion. It's like his insides are moving. And this father has this amazing compassion, and we see it in the tears that he sheds, the kisses that he gives, the embrace that he does. That while he was still a long way off, he sees him and he has this compassion. And he runs. You're not supposed to run. But the father doesn't care. He doesn't mind what other people think. He's overcome. He's not stupid. It's like the queen running today. Even when she was young, like 30, you don't run. This father in that culture should not, cannot, must not run. And there's something even in that simple thing. We have a father that runs, and we have this amazing father in the story that just lifts up his skirt. Because that's what it was, wasn't it? It's like this skirt thing. And runs. As we were singing that song, I was thinking, I wonder, he probably sang that kind of singer thing, that song that we sang just now, you know, "I'm here waiting here for you." The father used to go out every day, waiting, hoping that day he'd see him. It's like he's singing, isn't it? "I'm here waiting here for you. I'm waiting here for you, and it's you I adore." Singing hallelujah. "I'm waiting here for you, and it's you I adore." That's what the father's feeling. And this day he saw him. He's got this amazing compassion. The second thing we notice about this father in the story, that he's got this forgiveness. It's forgiveness plus. He's forgiving this son who's rubbished him, disrespected him, spat in his face. It's like Greek. He's got this amazing forgiveness. It's big. And he doesn't just forgive him, he gives him on top. It's like when Christ was on that cross for 6 hours, he's forgiving people for all time and giving. He's forgiving and he's giving. What's he giving? He's talking to his mother as he's in agony, forgiving the world forever and giving and giving. Can you imagine the physical, the spiritual agony? He's forgiving and giving. Mother, your son John. John, your mother. Take her home with you, John. Talking to a thief, saying it's okay. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He's forgiving and giving. One of the greatest challenges of the spiritual life is to receive God's forgiveness, to receive what God gives us in forgiveness, and to give forgiveness. I said to someone a few years ago, why can't we disagree to disagree and not fall out? And his attitude was, no, we can't. I want to fall out. So he stayed falled out. So I wrote to him and sent him a Christmas card. Pleaded with him. Can we meet? Can we have a coffee? Can we have a chat? You know, can we? Oi, Christian. I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. We're instructed to forgive or we won't be forgiven. I just couldn't live a day, let alone a week or any more, if I knew there was something in me, even if you did something against me. Our Lord teaches us, doesn't he, that we must forgive. So this father in the story is amazing. Yes, he is. He is amazing because he is really forgiving and he's giving on top. My father was a bit like this father in that he was generous, my father, my human father. And the father in the story is generous. So the father begins to give him things. And the things in themselves are great. But they also represent what he's giving back to him. So receive tonight. Receive these things. I had a rumor once that when Billy Graham was talking in Africa, that you know, he wasn't praying for the sick, but as he was talking, people were healed. There wasn't a ministry time. It's just preaching Jesus. He didn't tell them they couldn't be. So just receive. So the son says, look, I've got a little speech. I've worked it all out. I'm sorry to God, I'm sorry to you, I'm not worthy, have me back. But he's just cut short. The father doesn't want to know the rest of the speech. He says, quick, servants, bring. Bring the best robe. Put it on him. What's that? That's symbolic for distinction, special. It's like the best robe. It's like it'd be an Italian suit today, wouldn't it? Italian design, cut, cloth. It wouldn't be German. It would not be Greek. Even though my dad was a good gentleman's tailor, it wouldn't be English. It's like, bring the best robe. He's a man of distinction. He's distinct, he's special. Bring the ring, put it on his finger. I've worked with bishops in West Africa. I've worked with a bishop in Nigeria. I like the African bishops especially. They seem to have a greater authority and respect and power. And a bishop wears this ring, whether he's an English bishop, an African bishop, or whatever, like really deep red, aren't they? Have you noticed? Well, they have. And the rings that bishops wear represent authority. It's a ring of authority and power given to them by God. So the Father is saying, give him the ring of authority. So now the Son is like getting dressed up. He's special and he's distinct. He's dressed in this best robe. And the Father's saying, you are special. You are distinct. I'm giving you back what you have lost. I'm giving you back authority and power and rights. You lost it, you blew it. I'm giving it to you. You can stand up. You can. And the Son is quite happy to come back and just be a slave or a servant. He's got that in his speech. Just have me back as one of your hired men. Don't worry about me being a son. But the Father's not interested in him coming back and being a slave or a servant who went around barefoot. You're my son. My sons have their feet covered with shoes. You're my son. You will not be a slave. You will not be a servant. You have not lost your position or your rights. This father was really generous. I was in Africa once and I thought I was being quite generous. We'd given so much of ourselves. We were spent, poured out, financially poured out too. And I felt God say to me, I want you to give all the staff at this college some money. I said, Lord, if I give them any more, I will not get paid on time when I go back. I thought, can I do that? Can I get paid late? Can I make another little sacrifice on top of another and another? Can I be generous? We teach in church about 10% giving. Give what God tells you to give. 10% is a good guide. A woman came up to me and she said, I've talked to my husband, he says it's okay for us to give you this. We've got nothing to give you to help build your school in Africa, but we want you to have this. It's okay with me. Beautiful young woman with a little baby in her hand giving me her wedding ring. I said, I can't take that. She insisted. Sell it. Build your school in Ibadan, southern Nigeria. Woman came up to me in Scotland after I finished preaching, tapped me on the shoulder. She said, I want to give you my house to build your school. I said, give it. Thank you. I'm taking it. Who was she? The Holy Spirit spoke to her. A widow. well off? No, not at all. Two sons. Did she have two houses or something? No, she's living in rented today. She gave it to our little charity. We sold it. We made about £34,000 profit. It's in the remotest part of the United Kingdom. You have to get on a boat from northern Scotland, go to one island, get another boat, go to another one, get another boat, and go to a place called Unst. It's Ordnance Survey Map 1. Up there. She was generous, this widow, leaving two teenage sons. This man in the story is really generous. Three qualities: compassion. Forgiveness plus. He gave on top. He didn't just forgive. He gave. He was generous. Let us be really generous. Let us be forgiving and giving. And let us be a people of compassion. Let us receive the love of the Father and become like the Father. Let us receive our God's compassion, forgiveness, and his generosity. Because he really wants to be compassionate to us. He really wants to be forgiving and giving to us. And he wants to be generous to us. Some people find it hard to believe that God would want to give them their heart's desires. And not all our heart's desires are right or righteous, but when they are, let us receive from him. So tonight, I just want to simply say this. Our God is compassionate. Our Father is compassionate. Our Heavenly Father and our Jesus is forgiving. Let us forgive. So even though I wrote to my friend a few times, he's like ice. I'm not interested. We don't agree. I've fallen out. Go on, let's do coffee. No. Well, okay, if I've wronged you, well, forgive me. No. Christmas card. No. Another Christmas card. No. Will you look at me? No. Will you forgive me? You know when someone is forgiven or not, if they're taking revenge. Could be silent treatment. The heart of Jesus' message in Luke 6, 36, in the New Living Translation, says this. This is the heart of Jesus' message. This is it. Luke 6, 36, Jesus says, be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. So I've got one of the things that I'm compassionate about is sponsoring our children in Africa. We've got 50 little children. A lot of charities are not working in Nigeria. The biggest and the best are not, because it's too dangerous or too corrupt. I've seen two people burnt alive before my eyes in Nigeria. They told us not to go, but we went. I'm like committed. I'm fathering. In that I'm giving education, creating jobs for them, discipling them, telling them about Christ. We've got about 50 young people in one project and 50 children at another project. And through the years, I've brought people to Christ, fathered them, people like J. John. Knocked at a door once doing parish work, did a survey in our area. 6 months later, I call back. Big guy opens the door. He says to me, "I remember you." I said, "I remember you." We had a little chit-chat on the doorstep. I asked myself in. We get talking. I invite this man to a dinner meeting to come as my guest. 100 people came plus. He knew that J. John would get up to speak after the dinner. Our church paid for his food and all the guests. Heard J. John give the gospel, finish off with a prayer of commitment to Christ, coffee serve, finished. I turned to my friend Lyndon and said to him, "Lyndon, what do you think of that? The evening." He says, "You people, you've got something." I said, "Right, good." I said, "Lyndon, did you pray the prayer?" He said, "No." I said, "Can I come to your house next week?" I'm in his house the week after. I'm about to leave, and I give him this little book. It's like third or fourth meeting with a total stranger. Give him a gospel book and say to him, "If you open the door, tell me in the next few days." We left. He got on his knees. He opened the door. You know, Revelation 3:20. Can you say Revelation 3:20? Ooh, you're asleep. I've nearly finished. Hang in there. Can you say Revelation 3:20? Can you say it once more? He opened the door. Followed him up. I'm here tonight because someone followed me up. J. John's here because someone followed him up. That's how it works. Through us. It's fantastic. This big guy, his wife came to Christ, he came to Christ, started coming to church, goes to a vicar factory in Bristol, becomes a vicar. Can you believe it? From the door to the vicar factory, just snatched him out of hell, just out of nothing, out of nowhere. Just systematic door-to-door work. My friend J. John says this, and I close. The average Christian has heard 2,000 sermons, sang 20,000 songs, said amen to 10,000 public prayers, and introduced no one to Christ. Should we change that? Should we change that? It just starts off with a response. I'm up for changing that. We can change that. We can just come to our Lord and say, "Can you change that, Lord, in me? I don't want that. I want to be able to talk to people about you, share you, my testimony. Can you teach me, Lord? Can I enroll in your school, Jesus? Can I?" So shall we ask the band to come up? So, if tonight that you want to respond to this message, or for any needs that you have, just as we're worshiping the next little while, just come out. I'll be here. The team will be here to pray with you. It could be to receive the Father's love, His forgiveness, and His generosity. It could be that you want to be like this Father. Lord, I'd like this message to be in me. I'd like to live this message. I'd like to be a father or a mother like this. I'd like to be compassionate like this. That's what I'd like. I'd like to be forgiving, even when I'm wronged, and giving like this. I'd like to be really, really different, Lord. For some of you, God's put some crazy ideas in your head, and they're really good. Some wild stuff in a good way. Maybe you just want some help to just live that out in your world. To go and do something really amazing in God with Jesus in you. If you said to me 50 years ago, 40 years ago, even 10 years ago that I'd be doing what I've done, I'd say you're crazy. So just feel free tonight to come and receive from the Father. And also come out tonight if you'd like to volunteer to go deeper. I want to be like this Father or Mother. Lord, I want that. I want to be that compassionate, forgiving and giving and generous. I want to be generous, outrageous. Not just in terms of money, but just my life. I want to be generous, Lord. So if you want to respond to that, if you want to speak in tongues and you're not, come out. If you want the gifts of the Spirit and you don't have them very much or not at all, come out. If you want to start to prophesy over people and you think, I want to be generous. Can you be generous so that I can be generous, Lord? Come out. If you don't know Jesus, come out. If you're fed up with compromising,